Okay, we're going to begin here the daf on Ayin Zayin Amud Bet by the two dafs. We'll just go over that sugya a little quickly and then move into Ayin Chet. Wide lines in the Gemara. Lo yomar adam lishto b'shabbat mufar laichei batel laichei kaderach shemala b'chol. A person should not be made for in the dorm for his wife the way that he does it normally during chol. Rather, he should say to her, to leave achli, to leave ishti, and to move in me'elav, he says to her, eat or drink, that ha neder batel me'elav, that the neder is batel, because it's clear that he's telling her to violate the neder. From Rabbi Yochanan, tarach shivata l'libo, he must be mevatel the neder in his heart. So the Ron points out over here, what's the issue? Why do we have to change on Shabbos? Why do we have to change the way that he's mevatel, or not mevatel, but really mefer the neder on Shabbos? We saw above, I saw earlier on the daf, on the Ayin Zayin, that there's no problem with doing hafara on Shabbos, especially when it comes to l'tarach Shabbos. And here it's clearly l'tarach Shabbos because he's telling him to eat and drink, which are clearly the Tzorech Shabbos. So if you look down in the Ran says 2, 4, 5 lines down, 5 different lines down in the widest lines of the Ran. He says, Hadas Rin Lameimar Hochi La Mishum Zera the Hetzer Nadarim the Chacham Hu. The reason that we're saying that he should switch over here is not a Zera because of Hataras Nadarim, which we've seen it in the Daf on Ayin Zayin is a problem, maybe a problem on Shabbos. There are times where it's an issue on Shabbos because Hataras Nadarim looks much more like a Din than a Faras Nadarim. Since these issues are issues of Tzarek Shabbos, even by Hataras Nadarim, it's Mutar on Shabbos. So why should it be that he has to do a Shinoi? He has to change the way that he does his Hataras Nadarim. Because you have the ability to switch on Shabbos to make it do it differently, that is enough of a requirement to have you switch or do it differently on Shabbos. So why is that? So you can say it's Ugdin and the Chol, wherever we can try to have the person not be like it was on Chol for them, then we're going to ask them to switch. It reminds me of something that I heard over from Rav Twersky Zatzal in Boston. He was speaking about Yom Kippur Shechali Yom Shabbos. When Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, basically Yom Kippur overrides Shabbos. We fast on Yom Kippur, we say Vidui on Yom Kippur, we daven by Yom Kippur. Basically Shabbos is been overtaken by Yom HaKippurim, yet we still don't say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, and we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. And the first case said, the Tzal said, why is that? I mean, Yom Kippur is basically Docha Shabbos Lagamri. Why wouldn't we say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum? Why don't we say Avinu Malkeinu? And truthfully, it's a joke. We should say them, because anything on Shabbos is almost non-existent in the face of Yom HaKippurim. But he said, just like the Ran says over here, that we have to do it in order to preserve the character of Shabbos. I mean that, yes, Shabbos is subverted to Yom HaKippurim. Yeah, we do some nominal things, some small shinuyim in the day of Yom Kippur to remind us that it is Shabbos, to be madgish, to emphasize that there still is a Shabbos there, and there still is a Shabbos underlying this Yom HaKippurim. So it's over here, even though Hafara is totally mutar on Shabbos here, nevertheless we ask for a shinuy, we tell you to switch or do it differently, just to remind you or to emphasize again the character of Shabbos, that this is a special, this day is different, this is a Shabbos. Even though this Shinoi is different than other Shinoi we talk about halachically, where the Shinoi changes the level of Yisur that we're involved with, it changes from Doraisa to Rabbanon, or Rabbanon to Mutar. Over here, that's not what the Shinoi is doing. The Shinoi is simply a reminder that this is Shabbos, that this day is different. Right, so now the Gemara continues. This idea of being mevatel the neder b'leiv is only works on Shabbos. It does not work during a regular weekday. Whether it's Shabbos or a chol, you can use this bitul b'leiv. And you don't have to explicitly state the hafara. So the Ran over here points out that we have a Gemara coming up on Ayin Chet. On Ayin Tet, beginning of Ayin Tet, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to be made for b'leiv. That hafara b'leiv does not work. And we just had a Gemara, according to the second explanation of the Ran, we just had a Gemara above here on Ayin Zayin that says that when you say a lashon of Ein Zeneder or Eif Shishi Teduri, that doesn't work as a hafara. So if that's the case, how come over here it does work? So that's what the Ran says. Well, the Ran says if you do hafara b'leiv alone, if you simply do hafara b'leiv, that's not sufficient and that doesn't work. And that's what the Gemara on Ayin Tet is talking about. If you simply use a lashon that's a lashon garua, it's not really a lashon afara, like we said above, ein zeneder or ef shishi taduri, that's also not sufficient in and of itself to create a hafara's neder. But if you combine the two, if you have a hafara's leiv and a lashon garua together, those two together are able to create a faras nedar. And that's what we're talking about here. Here he has a fara belayv, and number two is he has lashna b'lechiv, a sleeva, sleeva shati. So between those two, that creates a situation in which we can say that there is a hafaras nedar. The Rambam has an alternate explanation here, which isn't so clear, as the Rambam points out. The Rosh also has a slightly different interpretation, that he says that the tzliva achta, the tishati, is just a mare makom. It shows you that he was mevatel b'leiv. It tells you that he did a hafara b'leiv. And that's why he has to say it in order to indicate that he's done it. But again, then you run into the problems with the Gemara later on, and the Gemara that we had earlier on the daf on Ayin Zayin. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, another statement from Yochanan regarding the Darim. Chacham shamar b'lashon baal. Baal shamar b'lashon chacham lomar klum. So the chacham does hataris nedarim, and therefore he says mutar laich. And the baal does hafaras nedarim, and therefore he says mufar laich. Right there, but they cannot switch. I mean, the husband cannot use the lashon of hatara, and the chacham can't use the lashon of hafar. It doesn't work. How do we know this? The Tanya, with a price of Zadavar. It doesn't work because the beginning of the parsha of Nedarim starts off as Zehadavar. Hafcham Matir, Vein Baal Matir. A Chacham does Hataras Nedarim, and a husband doesn't do Hataras Nedarim. Yachol, because I could have said a Kavachomer, Ma Chacham Sheinu Meifer. Chacham doesn't have the ability to nullify, right? He is Matir. Then he's able to be Matir Nedarim. Baal Shemefer, husband who has the ability to do a Faro, Enudin Shematir, certainly he could do it through Hataras Nedarim. Tamam Omar, Zehadavar. Then a Chacham Matir, Vein Baal Matir. The Hataras Nedarim is for the Chacham, and it's not for the Baal. Tanyidach, that goes the other way, we have a price that goes the other way, Zehadavar, Baal Mefer, Vein Chacham Mefer. Husband can do a Hataras Nedarim, and the Chacham can't do a Hataras Nedarim. Sheachla, I thought it was a Kavachomer that a Tamas Chacham should be able to do Hataras Nedarim as well. The husband who can't do Hataras Nedarim is able to do nullification, able to do Hafara. Chacham Shematir and Udin Shemefer. Shouldn't it be that a Chacham who can do Hataras Nedarim should also be able to do Hafaras, who can do Hataras Nedarim, can also do Hafaras Nedarim? Talmud Omer is Zehadavar. Baal Mefer, Vein Chacham Mefer. The husband can do Hafaras Nedarim, the Chacham cannot do Hafaras Nedarim. So the difference here seems to be at least that the Lashon that the Baal uses is Hafaras Nedarim, that is Mufarlech, and the Chacham uses the Lashon of Mutarlech. Points out, the Ran points out here that the Yerushalmi says that the Chacham can also use the Lashon of Ein Kan Neder, Ein Kan Shebuah. That the Lashon also works. So how come, even though he's not using the Lashon of Hatorah, how come it works over there? So the Ran points out, and this is actually the Lashon that we use by Hataras Nedarim and Rosh Hashanah, we say Ein Kan Neder, Ein Kan Shebuah. Right, so the Ran points out that might be the difference. The key between the difference between the Baal and the Chacham is in how they remove the Neder. The Chacham is Matil and Neder Mi'ikaro. He eliminates the Neder retroactively as if it never existed. So any Lashon, any language that indicates that the Neder has been wiped out or non-existent, that works for Hataras Nedarim. That's why Yerushalmi says, Ein Kan Neder, Ein Kan Shavua, that is sufficient. Whereas Hafaras Nedarim, the nullification, the Neder by the Baal is all prospective. And therefore, only a lashon that indicates prospective nullification of the neder, that will be good for the baal. So it's not the exact lashon of mufar and mutar, but rather a lashon that indicates what they're trying to accomplish. If they're trying to accomplish a kiras neder, then that works when it's the chacham. If you're trying to create to nullify the neder heretofore, then that works. The lashon works when it's the baal, when it does hafar, any lashon that indicates such a hafar. Now the Gemara continues and says, well, you're talking about zeh davar. Right, we have says here, Nemar Khan, Zehadavar, says by the Parsha of Nedorim, Zehadavar, and also says by Shchutechut, Nemar Lahalan, by Shchutechut, Zehadavar, Shchutechut. So, Mab Shchutechut, so now since the Gemara is indicating there's a Gzer Shabbat, some sort of Hekesh Gzer Shabbat between Shchutechut and Nedorim. So, Mar wants to know what is this? Mab Shchutechut, Arnuvan of Achol Yisrael, by Shchutechut, there's no requirement of Rosh Hamatot. That anybody can do it. Aaron, Ramon of Chol Yisrael can be chayv in Shkutei Chutz too. Parsha Nedarim. Aaron, Ramon of Chol Yisrael also do in Parsha Nedarim. It'll be anybody can do a Taras Nedarim. Umatan Roshei Matot. Aflahalan Roshei Matot. Just like over here by a Taras Nedarim, there's a requirement of Roshei Matot. So too by Shkutei Chutz, there's a requirement of Roshei Matot. So Mar says the Parsha Nedarim, the Mayhu Chutzot. So what is it coming to teach you by Parsha Nedarim? What is Aaron, Ramon of Chol Yisrael coming to teach you with? So Mar says, "I'm Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, l'hachshir shlosha hevyotos," to tell you that three lay people can go ahead and be matir and neder. Now, lay people we're talking about here are people who understand what they're doing. They have to be explained to them. They understand that they're doing hataras nedarim. They understand they're being matir and neder. It's not anybody, but anybody understands what they're coming to accomplish here. That should be sufficient. That's what we learn out from the Gzer Shava of Arona, Vana, B'chol Yisrael from Shchut Echut. Now the Gemara says, "V'ha Roshei Matoti." What are you going to do with the fact that it actually says that the only people can work by Nedarim are Roshei Matot, the heads of the tribes? That comes to teach you another din that you can be master neder with a yachid, an individual who's a mumcha, an expert. And we'll see, we'll discuss this later on the top, but what does it exactly mean, yachid mumcha? So you see here, so the balance between them is that we have two psukim. We have one pasuk that teaches us Roshei Matot by Nedarim. We have another pasuk based on the Gzeir Shabbat from Shkut Echud Zadavar teaches us that it can be Aaron Uvon of a Chol Yisrael. How do we reconcile that the fact that it can either be, it can be everybody, a lay people, or it can only be Roshei Matot? So we reconcile it by saying that by Shlosha, when you have Hedyotot, you require three. Like a Beis Din, that works out. That's what comes, we learn out from Shkut Echut. And then when it comes from Roshei Matot, what do we learn out from Roshei Matot? It teaches us that a Yachin Mumcha, an individual, is a Mumcha, can be Matan and Nether alone. And the Ryan points out, how do you know it's three by Hedyotot? Because he says, well, we know from Roshei Matot that it's sufficient to be Yachid Mumche. So that's the fact is, when it says, Aaron Avon of Chol Yisrael, it has to be more than one. Otherwise, what does Roshei Matot teach you? Roshei Matot is unique in the fact that only one is needed by a Mumche. So in fact, by Bnei Yisrael, you require two, at least two, because it has to be more than Echad. So once you have two, then it's a Beis Din Shokel, and we go to three to make it into a Beis Din at Machriya. Therefore, you have three by Hedyotot, and you have one by Mumcha. Now, we're going to ask the question the other way. What do we learn by Shchut Echut? Right, so by Shchut Echut, we know Aaron Ovanov of Holy Soul comes to teach us that anybody is Chayov in Shchut Echut. What are you going to do with the fact that it says Roshei Matot? If you're going to have Xer Shabbat too in the Dorim, what are you going to do with that? Roshei Matot, Shchut Echut, the Mayhil Chosa that we bring over from the Dorim, what does that teach you? Amrav Shei says, Lamar Shei Shela Behekdesh. To teach you that, but even by Hekdesh, there you can be Matir and Neder. Hekdesh is the equivalent, making something Hekdesh is the equivalent of a Neder. Therefore, you can go and have a Shelas Chacham, you can be Matir the Neder, you can be Matir the Hekdesh. You can reverse the Hekdesh and say it was Hekdesh with Toast. So Gemara says that works well according to Beis Hillel, who holds that there is such thing as Hekdesh Toast. But the Beis Shammai, the main Shelas Hekdesh, according to Beis Shammai, who says there's no such thing as Hekdesh Toast, and you can't be Matir your Hekdesh. Roshei Matot the Stibishkut Echutz to my Hilcha. So what do they do with the Roshei Matot that we bring over from Nedarim by the Gzeir Shavah by Shkut Echutz? So Gemara says, Beis Shammai lays the Gzeir Shavah. Beis Shammai does not hold of this Gzeir Shavah, and therefore we do not need to come up with an explanation of what they do with Roshei Matot. Now the Gemara says, Zeh Adavar b'Parshin Nedarim l'mai k'tiv. The Zeh Adavar that we have by Parshin Nedarim, what does that come to teach us? L'mar Chacham Matir. Vain Baal Matir, Baal Mefer, and Chacham Mefer. That's what we saw in the Lashon of the Rabbi Yochanan above. That the Zeh Adavar comes to teach you that there's a unique way in which the husband is Mefer the Neder, and there's a unique way in which the Chacham is Matir the Neder, and the two cannot be interchanged. So now, what about Zeh Adavar B'Shchut Echutz L'man K'tiv? So then, according to the Beit Shammai, who doesn't have the Gzeir Shavah, what do they do with the Zeh Adavar B'Shchut Echutz? L'mar L'Shchita Chaya, Vain Chaya V'Alam Malika. To come to teach you that by when you have Shchut Echutz, when you have something that's Hekdesh, that's brought outside the Mikdash, that you're Shech, the animal, that's Hekdesh, outside the Mikdash to bring as a carbon, that you're Chayav, that's only true of Shchita when you do an act of Shchita, which is relevant outside the Mikdash. But if you do Malika, which is a form of Shchita that's only valid in the Mikdash, if you do that outside of the Mikdash, it has no relevance, and therefore will not be considered as if you are being Makriv, not Makriv here, but Shech, the carbon, or being killing the carbon outside of the Mikdash. Mara says, El Beit Shammai, according to this. So now we explain the Zeh Adavar that they don't use for Gzeir Shavah. We explained why by Shchut Echutz and by Nedarim each one is relevant according to Beit Shammai. But in the end, how does Beit Shammai learn that you're allowed to use three Hedyotot? Right, El Beit Shammai, actually, how do we know that they allow you to use three Hedyotot to be Matir and Neder? So they learned it out. Mara says, Nafkalahu means Rav Asi Barabi Natan. They learned it out from Asi Barabi Natan. Dechtiv, Vayidaber Moshe Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. Says in the parsha of the Moadot that Moshe speaks to Moadei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Hatanya, and we have a bright Rabbi Yosef Liomer Moadei Ne'emar Velo Ne'emra Shabbat. It says talks about the Moadim. It doesn't talk about Shabbat Breishit. Talking about the normal Shabbat. Imahem. But now Moadei Moadei Ne'emru Velo Ne'emar Parshat Nedarim Imahem. Talks about the Moadim, but doesn't talk about the Parshat Nedarim. So Rabbi Benatan Kashalei Hai Matnisa. He didn't understand what this Breishit meant. What does Moadim have to do with Shabbos? And what does Moadim have to do with Nedarim? What's the explanation of this? He went to Nardo And he spoke about it in front of Rav Sheshes. Well, Ashkechei, or he went to go find Rav Sheshes in order to explain the price, and he couldn't find him. Ata b'afred Mechuzah, he heard that he was in Mechuzah, so he followed, he went after him to Mechuzah. Amalei, Moadei Hashem Nemru, V'lo Nemra, Shabbat Bereishit Imehem. Bakti Shabbat Imehem. Alright, first of all, is that really true? In Emor, that's not true. In Emor, it says that when it talks about the Parshat Maadot, it talks about the Maadim, but also includes Shabbos in there. And also it says, Milvad Shabbatot HaShanah, right? And we see this, that Shabbat is mentioned by the Parshat Maadot. But two, Moadei Hashem Nemru, V'lo Nemra, Parshat Nedarim Imehem. Right, it says, well, the other limud in this price was what? That it's Moed Hashem and not Parshat Nedarim. But we know that right after Parshat Pinchas by the Karbanos of the Moedim, what's the next Parshat? Parshat Matos, which talks about Bas Mitzitra Kiva. Right afterwards, that's where Parshat Nedarim is written. So that was Rav Asi Bar Notan's issue with the price. So he says, I don't understand the price. And this is he posed to Rav Sheshes, that the price seems to suggest that it says Moed Hashem and not Shabbat, and it says Moed Hashem and not Nedarim. He says, but both of those are not true, because Shabbos is included in the Moed Hashem, number one. And number two is, the Parsha of the Dharma is found right after the Parsha of the Moedot. So they are together. So what is the meaning of this Brisa? Amalei Hokiktoni. This is the way to explain the Parsha, this Brisa. Moed Hashem, Tzrichim Kiddush Bezdin, Shabbos Breshit, Ain't Tzricha Kiddush Bezdin. No, the Moed Hashem require Bezdin to be Mekadesh the Chodesh in order to establish the day on which the Yom Tov holds out. Whereas Shabbat Bereishit, when it comes to a regular Shabbos, we don't require Beis Din to be Mekadesh Techodesh or Mekadesh Yom Rishon in order to count the days until the next Shabbos. Moedei Hashem Tzrichim Mumche, Vein Parshat Nedarim Tzrichim Mumche, Afilu Beis Din Hedyotot. And the Moedei Hashem require the Mumche, require an expert, whereas they require a Beis Din of Mumchim in order to be Mekadesh Techodesh, meaning a Beis Din of Smuchim, those that have smicha in order to create the Kiddush HaChodesh. Vein Parshat Nedarim Tzrichim Mumchim, and the Parshat Nedarim does not require such a field based in Shalom Diyotot. Even based in of lay people will be able to be, right, be able to be matir the nether. So in the end, he explains the verse to mean, Eile Moedei Hashem, Asher Tikru'u Otam V'Moedam. So the Kriya of the Moed, right, that is unique to Moedim. The Kriya, the need for Beis Din to announce or to establish the Kiddush HaChodesh, to establish the day on which Yom Tov will come, that is unique to Yom Tovim. That is not true of Shabbos. And that's why the Bracha on Shemoneh Esrei is different on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. On Shabbos we say Mekadesh Shabbat, because Shabbos is Kiddush HaKaimo. Shabbos exists, and its Kedusha comes Me'elav, and therefore when we say the Kiddush, when we talk about the Kiddush of the Shabbos, we say Mekadesh Shabbat. The Hashem is Mekadesh Shabbat. But yet, when it comes to the Moadot, we say, or even Rosh Chodesh, we say, Mekadesh Yisrael Roshei Chodeshim, or Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Because it requires Yisrael, it requires the Beis Din to be Mekadesh the Chodesh in order to establish the day on which the Yom Tov will fall, or on the day that the Rosh Chodesh will fall out. And therefore, it's Mekadesh Yisrael. The Kedushas Yisrael is what generates the Kedushas Zman, or Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the Bracha is Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, Mekadesh Yisrael Roshei Chodeshim. And the same is true by Nidarim here. What's the limud? The limud is Elo Mikra'i Kodesh Tikru Otam. The Kriya for the Moed is unique to Moed. That requires Smuchim. That requires experts in order to be Koveya the Chodesh and to be Koveya the Yom Tov. But that's not true of Nidarim. Nidarim that's not found there does not require experts to be Koveya the, or to be allow the Hataras Nidarim. You can even use a Beis Din of Hedyotot. And that's how Beit Shammai learns out that you can have a Beis Din of Hedyoto to be Matir Nidarim. So the Gemara says, well, that's nice, but what about the fact that the Parsha says Roshei Matot? Parsha Nidarim Roshei Matot Ktiv. It explicitly says by Nidarim that you need the Roshei Matot. Amar Chisvi Yisem Rabbi Yochan Ami Yochan Mumche. It comes to do the same way we explained by Beis Hillel, that there's a difference. By Hedyoto, you require three. By a Mumche, you require only one. So it happens to be a Machlokes Rishonim. The Ran has pointed it out a number of times here in the Masechta, closing the Rambam and the Ramban, whether you require, by Yochid Mumche, do you require Smuchim or not? Do you require Samuch? So he says, from this, it seems like from the Gemara over here, that it says that by Moadot, you require Mumchim, right? That's what's required. Mumche is a Samuch. And so by Parshas in the Nedarim, it sounds like you don't require Samuch, but you might still require a Mumche, or something that's over it. Understand, it has to be a step below that which took place by Rosh Chodesh or by the Moedot, but doesn't sound like a layperson could do it. So the Ran quotes over here that the Rambam writes in Parak Vav Mehilchos Shavuot, the Choshu Rav Muvhok Matir Yechidi. is we don't require a smuchim by nedarim, we only require a rav mufak, someone that is matir yechidi. And he later on goes on to explain, he brings some questions and proofs to the position of the Rambam, and supports the position of the Rambam that you do not require smuchim when it comes to doing hataras nedarim. And he also points out that you also just need someone who is considered to be a rav, an important rav, and that's a dor, that a yochad mumche, it's not required him to be the gadol ador, or the only person in that dor, but rather, that anybody is a rav mufchak bedoro, matri yechidi. Anyone is a rav mufchak bedoro can be matri yechidi. So that, he says, if it's drachel lichtovze, and I have to write this, menesheriti mishkatov, dafilu mantisrile deloy bai samuch zbanazet, even according to ones who say that you don't require smichov zbanazet, leka mumche tachazahaki, but yet, still today, there's nobody who can do this. Because you will acquire a mumche that was on the level of Rav Huna. That even Rav Huna, the Gemara there, has a hot man that he can't be matir neder. And he says, although nearly, I don't think this. That it's according to each generation. There isn't an objective standard by which we guide when it comes to smicha. If you require a smuchim, then there's an objective standard. You need smicha, and we don't have this. You can't do it. Whereas when we say that you have a Rav Mufak that can be Matir and Neder, we don't say there's an objective standard what a Rav Mufak is. It's each generation according to generation. A Rav Mufak in that generation can be Matir, Neder, but Yechidi. You don't require him to be on a level of a certain Amora or a certain person in a certain generation. Rather, in his generation, if he's a Rav Mufak with Doro, that's enough to be Matir, Neder, and be Matir, Neder, bit Yechidut, as a Yochid Mumcha. So the Ran again holds that you don't need smicha, and number two is you don't even have to be an objectively great rav, you just have to be a great rav, biddo rav. And that's opposed to other rishonim that number one hold that even though we don't require smuchim, we don't have anybody who's qualified today to be matir neder. Or number two, those the others, like the Ramban, who hold that you need even smuchim to be yachin mumcha to be matir neder. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chista v'item Rav Yochan v'yochin mumcha. Oh, we just read that, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chanina, this is the Gemara beginning today, and we'll continue with it tomorrow. We'll talk about the statement of Rabbi Chanina, and then from there we'll move to the one proof, I try to prove against it, and when the Gemara will reject that, and then tomorrow we'll spend time on the rest. Amar Rav Chanina, shotek almanas l'meika. Someone who is silent in order to anger his wife, to upset his wife, to cause her anguish, right, Mayfair, then he can still do a farah. Feel me kind about Yom from now until 10 days from now. So it seems from Chanina that there is a shtika. Until now, we've said that shtika is silence is the equivalent of acquiescence. If one is not made for the nether, the alternative to being not made for the nether is only a kiyama nether. Therefore, silence, which does not accomplish a hafaras a nether, will by definition accomplish a kiyama nether. But that's not true, according to Rabbi Chanina. Chanina says that you can have different types of shtika. You can have a silence, which is not necessarily acquiescence. You can have a silence, which is actually a rejection of the nether. The reason he's silent is not because he approves of the nether, but rather he's doing it in order to cause pain or anguish to his wife, but he really intends to be made for it. And Rabbi Chanina says that type of silence is not considered an acquiescence. That type of silence is not the equivalent of a kiyama nether. And therefore, one would be permitted to be made for the nether even after the point in time where he hears the nether and he's silent about that nether. So Meiti Rava says, is that really true? When do we say when the father passes away, when the husband passes away, that the father takes over the ability of the husband to be made for the nether? Only when the husband did not hear about it. Or he heard about it with shatak. Oh, Shishama Behafer, he heard about it and he was made for it, he heard about it and he was silent. And he died prior to that day being over. If he heard about it and he was Mekaned, or he heard about it and he was silent, he died the next day in Yochel HaHafer. He's not allowed, he cannot be made for the nether. The father cannot be made for the nether. Why? Because the Baal was already Mekayim the nether, either explicitly by saying it was a Kiyum nether, by Mekayim the nether, or implicitly by being silent. On that day, that's the equivalent of being Mekayim L'Neder. My lab shotek al manat l'meikat. So what? Sounds like from this that there's any type of shtika, no matter what type of shtika we use, that would be, eliminates the father's ability to take over the Baal, because the Baal would have been Mekayim L'Neder. That would be against what Rabbi Chanina says. And where it says, no, lo b'shotek manat l'kayim. Case here is where he was silent in order to be Mekayim L'Neder. So it says, yachi haino osham of a kiyam. You have it explicitly written in the Mishnah. If you want to be Mekayim L'Neder, it works as a kiyam. However, shotek, talking about a case where he was shotek without any definition of what the shtika was. So it turns out from this, the Gemara is now introducing the fact that there are three types of shtika. there's a shtika, which is a kiyum, silence, in order to be mekayim the neder. That will always be mekayim the neder. That will be according to Rabbi Chanina, shtika lemekat, a shtika which really is implicitly a hafara, which is intending not to be mekayim the neder, but rather to reject the neder. The only reason he's silent is because he wants to anguish his wife. So there'll be now an in-between type of shtika with shtika stam, where he has no intent. He doesn't intend to become the nether. He doesn't have a shtika that is intending to be made for the nether. And that type of shtika, the Gemara says, that shtika stam will be like shtika l'kayim, the equivalent of silence in order to be mekayim l'nether. So again, you have three levels of shtika. One is obviously a kiyum, which is when he's mekayim it, the shtika l'kiyum. One is obviously a hafara, when he's a shote, make cut according to Rabbi Chanina. And there's shtika stam, where he doesn't define what the shtika is for, and that's silence. If he lets the day pass, will be the equivalent of shtika l'kayim. How exactly Rabbi Chanina works is somewhat questionable, a little difficult. Doesn't work because Rabbi Chanina really believes you are mefir on that day. When you do a shtika amanat, the mekat, it really is a hafara. Automatically on that day, you've done the hafara. And then you just tell the wife about it. Only after 10 days, I mean, that's the anguish that you're causing her. He's doing hafara now. And then he'll be let her know about it after 10 days. Or is it that, no, there's neither a hafara nor a kiyum, that Rabbi Chanina now introduces a possibility that B'yom Shamo can be extended, the day that you hear it can be extended, because we require an action by the Baal on the day that he hears it. Either he has to be making it, or he has to be made for it. If he does neither, then maybe the day continues, or his ability to be made for the Neder, or Mekayim the Neder continues. And that's what Rabbi Chanina is saying over here. Normally, we have a kiyum Neder. Kiyum Neder automatically establishes Neder. Hafar Neder, Hafar Neder eliminates Neder. Then we have shtika. Generally, shtika is assumed to be acquiescence, because the silence is a lack of hafara, and that'll make it into a kiyum. But Rabbi Chanina says, no, there's a type of shtika, which is neither a hafara and neither a kiyum. And since it's neither one nor the other, therefore, it'll allow you to continue until you make a decision about kiyum or hafara, and until 10 days. Meaning that only after 10 days will he actually make a decision to be made for the neder. Not that it's hafara today, and he only tells her about it later on, but rather the hafara will be postponed until the 10th day. All right, we'll continue here with the question of Chista tomorrow.